Galatians chapter number 6. We're going to read verses 6 through 10 tonight. And if you do have your Bibles, you will see that we are almost very, very, very close to the end here of this letter. Probably about two more sermons, depending on what happens in the next few weeks, how much we can get out of it. But verses 6 through 10 of Galatians is where we're going to be tonight, and I hope that you find some encouragement in what we talk about. So let's look at it. Verses 6 through 10 says, "Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." And that's where we'll stop. May God add His blessing to His Word. Let's get right into our message tonight. The first thing that I want you to see, verse 6, there's a precept, there's a commandment that we need to obey. Look at it. It says, "Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." This literally means this: if you are taught the Word of God, you are to give to the one who has taught you the Word of God. And that can mean anything from banana pudding cupcakes to anything, okay? But that's literally what verse 6 is saying. Now, from the very first week of the church being established in Acts chapter number 2, there were priorities on the list of the church. And not only, we know the priority was to preach the gospel, and we know the priority was to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But did you know a priority on the church's list was also this: giving and sharing. That was a priority on the church list in the very first, really, day of the church. I want you to listen to this. Acts chapter number 2, verses 44 and 45. This is literally the first day the church has been established. "And all that believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and gave them to all men as every man had need." Isn't that interesting? That's what characterized the church in the first day. Not only preaching, worshiping, but giving and sharing. Now, what did they give there? It didn't just say they gave their time to go worship on Sunday and Wednesday, did it? It said they literally gave their material and financial blessings that God had given them. They began to give it to others. And you know, in verse 6, really, that's exactly what Paul is talking about. He uses almost, what he's talking about is a cuss word, really, around the Baptist church. It's a word that starts with an M. Anybody want to guess it? Money. Money, that's good. Danny liked that. All right, money. A lot of Baptists view money as so, but money's a good thing with God, right? If it's used in the right way. But you see, what this is teaching in verse 6 is we as the church aren't supposed to be people who hoard up our money. We're supposed to be people who give our money to others. And most of all, give it to God, right? We give what God has given us. You say, "Well, hold on now, I work for my money." Yeah, well, who gave us the ability to work, right? So God is really the one who's given us the money, not our boss. God is the one who's given us all of these blessings. And from the beginning, the church are to be people who give their money to the Lord. And really, in context, what verse 6 is saying is the New Testament congregations are to be so compassionate and giving in a way that they are to give in order to help the New Testament pastor. And that's exactly what verse 6 is saying. Now, I've got 100 verses on that if we wanted to talk about that. I could literally talk for 2 hours on verse number 6 about how it is the church's commandment of God to take care of their God-appointed pastor. And I could talk about that for the next 2 hours, but because I have a church that literally goes above and beyond on that, I don't have to. Because the only thing that I can say tonight about verse 6 is keep doing what you're doing. Keep obeying the Lord, because it's not something that you're just doing. You need to realize when you give, it is something that you're doing in obedience to God. Because you know as well as I know, there are a lot of churches who are disobedient to that. And you know as well as I know in the Bible, God will not bless a church unless you give. God blesses the churches that give, not only to the pastor, to one another, and even to others. Listen to what Warren Wiersbe said. He said, the teacher ought to share spiritual treasures, and the ones who are taught are enabled to share material treasures. And that's what's cool. But listen, this precept isn't just so you give so the pastor is taken care of materially and financially. This precept is given also so that the church who gives can be blessed spiritually. You know what the Bible says? God loveth a cheerful giver. He loves people who cheerfully give. And I can stand here today and I can praise Him that He sent me and my wife to a church who does just that. That they give to us so that we might do the work of the ministry full time. So I appreciate, I don't have to preach on that maybe in about 3 years. If you start slacking, I'll bring it out, okay? But that's a precept that every New Testament church is to obey, is to give, not only to help others, to help their pastor, but to help one another, even in the world at times. So that's the precept in verse number 6. Number 2, this is where we're going to spend the majority of our time. It is the principle that we find in verses 7 and 8. Look at it. It says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. And here it is. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Wow. This is the most obvious, simple, elementary principle in the entire Bible. This is literally something that a second grader could comprehend. Whatever you put into the ground and sow, you can expect that to come up. Am I right, farmer? Whatever you sow, if you sow wheat, what's going to come up? So if you sow a piece of wheat, you cannot expect a cucumber to come up, can you? What about if you sow a cucumber? Can you expect a watermelon to come up? Right. How much sense does that make? It doesn't make any sense. Because you see, the natural law, the natural principle, literally throughout this world, cause and effect. Principle, you reap what you sow. But you see, what Paul does here is something a little bit different. Because Paul takes this natural, easy-to-understand principle, and he says, listen, it's the same way in our spiritual lives. He brings it from the natural to the spiritual and says it works the exact same way in the spiritual realm. Whatever you sow spiritually will likewise be reaped spiritually in the same exact way. You can't sow good things and expect really almost all bad things to come up. And listen, you cannot sow bad things and expect good things to come up. It is a natural principle. But interestingly enough, actually in the context of this verse, he is talking about money. Because in verse 6, that's exactly what he's talking about. Sharing financially, sharing all of these things. And we reap what we sow financially in the exact same way. Listen to these verses. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8. Paul is talking about how this church at Corinth, they need to give to the church in Jerusalem that are in need. He says, This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. But he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that so that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That verse said, give sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. Give bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Give a little bit, you'll get a little bit back. Here's just, give a lot of it,
And guess what,
Carol?
You'll get a lot of it back, won't you? How many of you have found out you can't outgive God?
Now, here's something that literally probably all of you in here have found out your whole life, but I'm just now starting to realize this in my life. You would expect the more money you give to God, the less you'll have in your account. All right? Just listen to me, okay? That is reasonable. Okay? If I take money out of my account, guess what's going to happen? I'm naturally going to have less. Is that right? If I take money out of my account, I'm going to have less money. But how many of you found out if that money that you take out of your account is given to God, somehow God makes more in your account? Has anybody else found that out? Is that only me? If the money that is taken out of that account is given to God, somehow God makes more go in there. Listen, only God can do something like that. That does not make absolutely any sense. But that is God's principle. If you use what He has given you to give to Him, guess what? He's always going to give back to you. And I'm just now finding that out. Y'all found that out for the last 50 years, I'm sure. But that's exactly what God does. If you give, He will give back to you more than you gave to Him. So that's a principle that we can take with us tonight. But verse 7, we can take it a whole lot further than money, can't we? You reap what you sow doesn't just apply for your cash. It applies for our life. So I want you to look at it. Verse 7. Those first three words are a commandment. Be not deceived. What's he talking about? Be not deceived about what? About this principle. That you are going to reap what you sow. Because I believe Paul knew in 21st century Christianity, that principle was going to be thrown out the window. And Christians would begin to be deceived about that principle. Now listen to what I'm saying. That because Christians are forgiven, because we're under grace and not law, because we can't lose our salvation, that means thus we can live however we want to live and not have to worry about repercussions or consequences. Right? That's a lot of what's going on today. But Paul says, now hold on. That's not the truth. Because he says you are going to reap what you sow. And listen, that is a principle that you cannot outwit. That's a principle that you cannot outsmart. That is a principle just because you're a Christian, God says, oh, never mind. Right? You're mine, never mind. You don't have to deal with consequences of your choices. But that principle, literally from Genesis 3 until today, has stood the test of time. You are going to reap what you sow. That goes for the world, that goes for our money, and that goes for Christians as well. And yes, we are forgiven. You better believe it. Yes, we're under grace. We've talked about it for the last 6 months. Yes, we have mercy and eternal life. But that does not negate the fact that the choices we make today have a consequence tomorrow. Am I right about that? Whether they're good choices today, they'll reap good consequences tomorrow. Or if they're bad choices today, they'll reap bad consequences tomorrow. But just because we're a Christian, it doesn't negate that. Think about it. If a Christian smokes for 60 years, yes, he's going to be forgiven, but does that negate the fact that he's not going to have problems with his lungs? Is God going to say, never mind? If a Christian drinks hard for 30 years, yeah, he's a Christian, he's forgiven, but does that mean he's not going to have liver problems? If a Christian plays around in sexual sin with men or women, does that mean he may or may not get a disease from that? No. Right? This applies to the world, this applies to all people, this applies to us. The choices that we make today have a consequence tomorrow, and I need to tell you that because listen, the devil is deceiving these big mega church Christians today. Okay? I don't have that big of a problem with mega churches. I'm not going to get into that, okay? But there is a problem. Because there's no accountability. You can go to church on Sunday, nobody knows you're a Christian, nobody knows who you are, and you can go live however you want to live, Monday through Saturday, nobody ever finds out, and you can come to church on Sunday and nobody ever says anything.
And it's not being taught that, hey, yeah, you're going to be forgiven, but there's consequences to living in disobedience to God. I have a friend right now who is a Christian who reads his Bible, who leads a Bible study, but yet you know where he's sitting? In prison. Because he got in his car one night drunk and drove and killed three people. Yeah, he's a Christian. But guess what? The choice he made reaped the consequence, didn't it? And that's a sad thing. Our eternal consequences are settled. You get that? That's done. I'm going to heaven. Can't change that. Ain't nothing going to change that. But our temporal consequences, they're not settled yet. And Brother Carl, our life is really determined by the choices that we make, isn't it? You make bad choices, you're going to live a bad life. You make good choices, listen, it's still going to be hard. But you're more likely going to live a little bit better life than if you make bad choices. Because whether we know it or not, listen, we're sowing every single day. We're throwing out seed every single day on something. And I want you to look at verse 8. Paul says there's two soils on which you can throw your seed, on which you can make your life and choose your decision. For he that soweth to his flesh, wow, we just talked about that in chapter 5 for 4 weeks. He that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So there's two places you can choose to go. Two ways you can choose to make your choices. Now, this is kind of off the road here, but isn't it interesting in the Bible there's always usually two options for everything? Genesis 3, there were two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Could pick either one. Matthew 7, Jesus says there's two ways. Straight and narrow, wide and broad. There's two ways lead to two destinations, life or destruction. There's two foundations. You can build your life on a rock or you can build it on sand. There's two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. There's two people on planet Earth, children of God, children of Satan. And there's two natures on the inside of the believer, right? The flesh and the spirit. And Paul says, we sow either to our flesh or to the spirit. Now, because you're here on a Wednesday night, I can make the assumption you'd rather sow to the spirit. Is that right? So what does it mean, he that soweth to the Spirit? How do we do that? To sow to the Spirit simply means this. You practice or you do spiritual things. That's literally it. That is exactly what it means to sow to the Spirit. And when you practice or do spiritual, obedient, godly things, guess what's going to happen? You're going to reap blessings from it. It's exactly the principle that it's teaching. But if you make your choices based on the flesh, you're going to reap the consequences of the flesh. So that's exactly what's taught here. So, to sow to the Spirit, means to practice spiritual things. The question is, how do we practice spiritual things? You know you can practice prayer. Prayer isn't something that we just come to church and do. It ought to be something that we practice almost every day of our lives. The book that you should have in your hand tonight, this is something that you should practice reading every day of your life. Coming to church is something you should do. Giving is something you should do. Right thinking is something you should practice. Those are all things that tie into doing or practicing spiritual things. And what the Bible tells us when you do those things, when you make your choices in obedience to God, you are going to reap rewards and reap benefits from that. This isn't saying that we work for eternal life. This is saying that if we implement these practices, these godly things into our life, we'll receive benefits from them. Brother Carl, it's just like basketball. If you want to become a better free throw shooter, what you going to do? Pretty obvious. So, if you get up at 5:30 every morning and go practice free throw shooting, what's going to happen in a year? Are you going to be a better free throw shooter or worse? Exactly. If you wake up every morning at 5:30 and you go practice your free throw shooting over time, what's going to happen? You're going to become a better free throw shooter because you are practicing and putting these things as essential into your lives. And to sow to the Spirit means you practice prayer. You practice reading the Bible. You practice. It's amazing to me. A lot of y'all played sports growing up. And I did my whole entire life until I came here. It's amazing how much the Christian life is just like sports. Because with sports, you know what's going to happen? If you want something out of it, Ben, you're going to have to put something into it, aren't you? And in the Christian life, if you want something out of it, we're going to have to put something into it. Holiness is something God has called us to do. Being a godly person is something God has called us to do. But you know what's not going to happen? Justin's not going to wake up in the morning and be godly by me doing nothing. I'm not going to be a holier person by doing absolutely nothing spiritual. But it's literally working out. It is just like working out your physical body. We have got to work out our spiritual body in order to grow in the Lord. How in the world can you wake up tomorrow and sow something spiritual in order to get something spiritual as a benefit? You know what you can do tomorrow? Mark off 30 minutes and say, I'm going to spend time with God and I'm going to pray for 30 minutes. I'm going to find me a place over here. I'm going to get all alone with God and I'm going to just pray. How about the next hour you say, I'm going to go in my room and I'm going to open up my Bible and I'm going to see what God has to say to me in His Word. When's the last time you did that? You see, if we want these spiritual godliness, holiness, it comes by practicing spiritual things. So that's exactly what Paul is saying in this principle. If you make good choices by doing these things, you're going to reap good benefits. But if you make bad choices, it's pretty obvious that you're going to reap bad consequences. That's just the easy principle right there, okay? But it's something that needs to be brought out to us, that we need to be reminded of daily, that we need to do these things in order to get closer to God. There's a precept there you need to give. There's a principle there that you reap what you sow. But number three, this is my favorite point. There's a commandment that we need to persevere here. We need to endure. Look at verse 9. This is probably my favorite, one of my favorite verses in Galatians. Let us not be weary. Need to underline that. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In the context, this literally means, do not get tired sowing to the Spirit. Don't become weary or give up of doing these spiritual things. You know what's easy? What's easy is to wake up on Monday morning after you've been to church and say, all right, I'm motivated. I'm going to read my Bible this week, pray this week, I'm going to walk with God this week, and man, you're motivated, you're ready, you say, now come on, devil, let's bout it out. I'm going to grow in my relationship with God. It's Monday, I'm motivated, I feel good from church. Yesterday, Wednesday, Thursday comes. Everything is aggravating. Everything that happens is frustrating. And there ain't nothing going right. That ever happened to y'all? I know it does. That ever happened to y'all's week? You wake up and literally there ain't one thing going right. And if you wasn't a Christian, you'd done punch somebody. Am I right about that? I don't know about you, Carol. Right? Listen, it's easy to do these spiritual things when we're motivated to do them and we feel good. It's easy to do them. It's easy to come to God and pray and read our Bible, but it's not so easy when things go haywire, does it? When you get weary and you lose heart, you become tired. To be honest with you, you just get tired of doing good. It just wears you out sometimes. And you lose heart. Studying this today, verse 9, it just pretty much slapped me right in the face. And then I went to Luke 18:1, and I want you to listen to what Luke 18:1 says. Men ought always to pray and faint not. And when I read that, I had to stop everything that I did and go to God and say, I'm so sorry. Because let me tell you something. Let me just confess something to you so you know I'm real. Your pastor has fainted when it comes to my prayer life. I've become tired of praying.
I've gotten weary in prayer. I've fainted. I've lost heart. To be honest with you, it's a whole lot harder than it used to be. And I haven't been practicing prayer the way that I used to. You want to know why that is, though, Danny? This isn't an excuse. I'm just going to tell you why. That I've fainted and I've lost heart in prayer. Because there's so many times that I pray and nothing happens. I ask God to do so many things right here. Right here and out there with somebody, with something. And nothing. So I'd look back at it and I say, well, I just wasted my time. What's the point? I see no results coming out of it. So because I didn't see any results, Brother Carroll, you know what happened? I fainted. I gave up almost praying. Because I got weary. I'm not seeing any results. What's the point? I got 3 Sunday school teachers in here. You kind of know what it's like a little bit. Almost 4. How about all week when you prepare a lesson, whatever you want to call it? Man, you come in here and you teach it and seemingly nothing happens. It doesn't go as well as you planned. And seemingly no results come from it. Makes you almost want to quit, doesn't it? Be honest with you, it makes you tired. It makes you weary. How about when you read the Bible and you're so distracted, you get absolutely nothing out of it? You say, you know what? What was the point? Because we see no results. Listen, it is so easy to lose heart. It is so easy to get weary. And to be honest with you, the easiest thing is to just give up doing these things. That's the easiest thing in the world. Is to just say, you know what? I'm seeing nothing. I quit. I want you to listen to what this word weary literally means. He says, be not weary. Weary means this, to be faint-hearted, to lose courage, and therefore be discouraged. That's what it means to be weary. And y'all may can testify to this. I've never seen in my whole entire lifetime so many Christians that are that are tired, weak, faint-hearted, discouraged. That might be you tonight. And you say, you know what, man, I'm tired of battling. The battle's tough. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of struggling. And you're just ready to throw in the towel on doing good, on doing well, because you're faint-hearted. There's no results coming out of it. But verse 9 gives us some good news. It gives us some encouraging news. Paul says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Not might reap, not may reap, but you will reap. You shall reap. It's a promise that you will reap on one condition. If we faint not. Paul is saying here, if we don't faint, if we don't give up, if we keep praying, if we keep teaching, if we keep preaching, if we keep reading, if we keep giving, if we keep singing, if we keep coming, and we keep doing well, this principle says, it is impossible to not receive the reaping from it. Impossible. If you keep on keeping on doing well, keep doing what you're doing, keep doing what God has told you to do, it is absolutely impossible to not reap any benefits from it. Because it's a principle that stands the test of time, church. If we faint not. But verse 9 says it'll be in due season. And guess who decides the seasons? Sometimes the seasons are dry, aren't they? The last 6 months have kind of been dry since March hit, right? You know, this is a season that not just we're going through, all Christians are going through this. It's dry, it's tough, it's discouraging, and it's full of despair. That's this season really right now for a lot of people. But I need you to understand this.
It is in those times that God is testing our commitment to Him. It is in those times that God is testing our commitment to Him. Listen, do you know what the easiest thing in the world to do is? Serve God when everything's going good. When there's 300 people here, people are getting saved, people are singing, people are shouting, everything's going good, man, it is the easiest thing in the world to get up here and preach and teach and sing and lead and do whatever you want to do. When everything's going good, it is so easy to serve God. That requires hardly no faith. But you know what's tough? When you're serving and you look out and you say, look at there, ain't nothing happening. When your motivation to serve is absolutely zero. You know what God is doing? He's testing us. And He's asking this question, are you really committed to me? Anybody can serve me when it's going good. But my real servants who are after my own heart, they don't give up when it gets hard. And let me just inform you tonight. I'd like to shame the devil and say he loves to try to get us and me to quit. We're going to be committed to God until we see Jesus. The question tonight is, are you going to quit? Or are you going to keep pressing on? The old song says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. That's what it says. It says, keep on running the race till you see Him. Because in that moment, it will be worth it all. Every prayer, every reading, every act of serving, when you see Him, you'll say, boy, I sure am glad I pushed through. It's easy to get weary. It's easy to get faint. Listen to this verse. Everybody knows it. Isaiah 40, I think it's verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. There's one condition to that. Wait upon the Lord. That means don't quit. That means don't go somewhere God didn't tell you to go. That means where God puts you, stay right there and keep serving until He says, go somewhere else. Wait. And God says, I'll give you brand new strength. I'll give you wings as eagles. You'll run and you won't get tired. You'll walk and you won't fall over. The most peaceful thing almost I've ever found in this world is to stand outside and watch an eagle fly. Have you ever watched that? When you stand there and you watch an eagle go around in circles, it is so peaceful, and here's why. That eagle's not struggling. That eagle hardly ever does this. Ever. He's not struggling. He's not striving. He's not sweating. He's not tired. He's not worn out. What's he doing? And man, I'm thinking, man, I would love to do that. He's not struggling, striving, trying. Man, he's just going. You know why? Because he's got wind that's really carrying him. He just let the wind take him. You know what wind is in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. The Bible says when we are led by the Holy Spirit and we wait upon the Lord, He'll do that just for us. know what he might be saying to you tonight? Just stop. Stop trying so hard. Stop striving. Stop sweating. Just stop and trust me. Wait upon me, and I'll give you brand new strength. And you won't be weary, and you won't be tired, if you wait on me. I've been encouraged tonight. Have you? Amen. Father, thank you for this word tonight. You said, you promised in your word, God, that if we fainted not, if we didn't give up, if we didn't throw in the towel, that if we continue serving and doing what you've called us to do, God, you said that we would reap the blessings and the benefits from it. So God, we thank you for your word tonight that we can take to the bank every single time, that it's true, that it's settled in heaven, and we can put our trust in it. God, help us as we leave this place tonight, Lord, to sow to the Spirit tomorrow, to help us to do, Lord, what you've called us to do each and every day, to go about our daily business in seeking you and growing in our relationship with you. We do love you. I pray you'd keep us safe as we leave this place. Bring us back together on Sunday. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen.